The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We've got a great Big 12 SEC Super Tuesday doubleheader coming your way. We got Kansas and Iowa State, 7 Eastern. Then we got the number one team in the country. Auburn taking on their rival Alabama. Should be a great night of college basketball. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Brian Daboll was introduced as the new coach of the Giants yesterday, but his 4-year-old stole the show. Watch this.
This is going great. My 4-year-old fell asleep. Did not listen to one word I said.
How about that? Now, I could have used a quick cutaway to the 4-year-old, right? We need him.
Yes.
We need the 4-year-old. Can we see it? There we go. Oh, there we go. Oh, there he is.
Ooh, oh, mom, and mom was holding him. Hey, that dude didn't stand a chance. I mean, he got snuggled and held. That dude ain't listening to nothing dad says. He's in his perfect place right there.
What do we think of this, Marcus?
I love it. I would have fell asleep, too, at my daddy press conference. It was boring. All I cared about is getting my stuff.
Dominique, any thoughts here? Because, I mean, the press conference was interesting. Yeah.
Wake me up when you get some dubs, Dad. Ain't nobody here for you talking. Let's get some wins, then I'll pay attention.
I mean, just to put this in context, we got Graza's son here. He's been asleep most of the show, too. So
that's true.
He's a lot older than four.
Yeah. Sam Graziano was taking in the program today, and he fell asleep. He fell asleep right about the time you slammed a pancake into the ground.
Exactly. Oh, that woke him up.
Pretty much right.
That's what got
he's here this morning. That's all. America can wave to Sam Graziano.
Yeah.
There we go. Say hello.
What's
there
up?
He is. He's sitting in the. He's in the witness protection.
Man,
let's roll it. We're back with another hour here coming to you live as always above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam packed on a Tuesday. Let's go. It is time to get up with Tampa Tom. He's talking while time is tick, tick, ticking away. We'll let you hear what he said. We'll tell you exactly what it means. Then, the aftermath. Off the worst day of his career, what really went wrong and who is to blame in Kansas City? That conversation is coming up. Plus, I'll give you the one reason you can be absolutely certain Jim Harbaugh is headed back to the NFL. All that and more in this hour as we get up with you, starting today with the greatest of all time, and that's Tom Brady, going to retire from the NFL, according to Shefty and Jeff Darlington. Last night, Brady on his podcast, Let's Go, was asked about it all, and here's what he said.
You know, it was a good week for me, and I'm just still going through the process that I said I was going through. So I think when the time's right, I'll be ready to make a decision one way or another, just like I said last week. We're in such an era of, you know, information and you know, people want to be, you know, in front of the news often. And I totally understand that and understand that's the environment we're in. But I think for me, I'm just literally it's day to day with me. I'm just trying to do the best I can every day and, you know, evaluate things as they come and, you know, trying to make a great decision for me and my family. I was actually a little bit, you know, disappointed that would actually, you know, play some part of what's going on in NFL football, which to me has been such an amazing sport. And, you know, the focus should be on, you know, those great games.
No, I actually rather like that, Dan Graziano, as perhaps one of the reasons that he wants to control the timing of this, which clearly is what is going on here. He wants it to be his decision when this thing is announced, and I respect that. And maybe one of the things is he didn't want to overshadow the weekend of football, and to some degree, I guess he did.
Sure, and obviously this wasn't his intention for it to get out. Mm-hmm. Look, he's not in there saying the reports are wrong. We trust our guys, Adam and Jeff, obviously. So I think this is a matter of timing, and like you said, he wanted it to be in his control when the announcement came out. I'm sure he's got something planned for it.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see. I do agree that it's a matter of when, not if, and Tom Brady will ride off into the sunset. In the meantime, we'll talk more about him a little bit later. Let's get to a game as we bring the rest of the crew in here that we call awesome, awkward, and awful. Jeff, as we look back on Championship Sunday, give me something you saw that was awesome.
Bengals coming back from 18 down. Listen, this team, they don't know how to lose. I mean, you just look at them. They made make plays. Their defense stepped up, really controlled Patrick Mahomes, had him confused. And then offensively stuck to their game plans. That's it. They ran the ball effectively. They controlled it. And again, he gave McPherson a chance to make this kick for the win. This was an incredible comeback for these guys to win it. Like I said, they're on a momentum swing like none other.
Marcus, give me something you saw that was awkward.
Debo Samuel not touching the ball for a lot late in that football game against the Los Angeles Rams. I was like, what is happening right now? It is not going to be your quarterback to win the game. It's going to be 19 or Kittle or somebody like that. But the fact that Debo did not see and touch the ball towards the end of that game, I feel you, Debo. I was pissed off too. But I'm telling you, bro, it is no way in the world he's done what he's done all season long. The one screen he got took to the crib and didn't touch it later on in the game.
I'm with you. And then Graziano, what was awful?
The Chiefs not getting in here at the end of the first half. I mean, they were awful in the second half, but this is where it all started. This is where the door cracked open for the Cincinnati Bengals, because it was the first time they'd stopped them all game from scoring a touchdown. And you were sitting there thinking, well, if there was any reason to hope for Cincinnati, Kansas City just gave it to him.
No, and Rex talked at length yesterday about the power of momentum and how significant that is in that spot. And I remember Tracy Wolfson on the telecast said, Zach Taylor
Look
said that
Eli
fired up his team coming out of the third quarter. So there are a lot of questions coming out of that game, particularly about the performance of Patrick Mahomes. I want you to hear what Andy Reid said about his quarterback yesterday.
One half away from going to his third Super Bowl in a row. And that's that's pretty impressive. Most of these teams that are getting this far have good quarterbacks. I mean, that's just how it works, and we're fortunate to have him. There's nobody looking at Pat Mahomes cross-eyed from our side, and I would anticipate our fans feel the same way.
Yeah, I think everyone feels to some degree that way. We have to be very careful to make sure we define our terms properly here. No one is questioning the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. Sure. No one's wondering if they need to go in a different direction. No one's wondering if he was overhyped. None of that. But the reality is, you're up 18 points at home in a championship game against a team no one expected to be there, and you're a touchdown favorite. That loss sticks to people. So my question, Dominique, is who does that one stick to coming out of Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy. I think it's going to stick to Andy Reid if it has to stick to somebody. I think Patrick Mahomes definitely was pretty terrible in the second half of the game in a way that we've never seen. But I'm extrapolating out the rest of Patrick Mahomes' career based on what we've seen. He's going to have a lot more big-time moments that are going to overshadow this. And he's had bigger, much, much bigger moments before this. So I think this will be a blip in his career that we won't talk about. But for Andy Reid, it's a little different. It's kind of a pattern for Andy Reid. He did this with the Chiefs in the past before Patrick Mahomes got there, and he's done it with the Eagles in the past where he has trouble with managing games and giving up big leads in important games. So I'm not sure that we're going to remember this much further than this season, but if it sticks to somebody, it's got to be Reid over Mahomes.
Well, look at the number that Hembo just put up there on your screen, and we had it yesterday. Reid also has lost more conference championship games at home, or as many as anybody has. And Marcus, I want to pick up the thought that we had in our first hour, because I think it's important, because most fans are sitting there and they're watching Patrick Mahomes and they're saying, boy, he's really struggling. And that was a result of adjustments that were made by the Bengals during that game. And the question is, where were the counters from the Kansas City sideline? Marcus, pick it up from there.
Gee, I don't know where they were. And the thing that was so disheartening about watching that second half is the Kansas City Chiefs reverted back to how we talked about them earlier in the season when they were losing games. And we were concerned about what is happening with this offense. And I was screaming about Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid. I look at the second half of this game and I'm saying to myself, okay, if I'm seeing the adjustments to a three-man rush and playing man-to-man behind that, that is giving you a favorable box. This is football X's and O's now. This is simplicity, too. This is not intricate. You don't need a Kyle Shanahan running scheme in order to get yards in this particular football game. And I'm looking at Kansas City. I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes' eyes, literally, not knowing where to go with the football. That's holding it, eight people in coverage, Hand the damn ball off, man. McKinnon back there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, you have an opportunity to run these people out of what they're trying to do to you defensively. So, yeah, it'll stick to Patrick Mahomes because we still talk about LeBron, his series with the Mavericks. We still talk about that. Even all of the things that we've accomplished, we'll talk about this performance from Patrick Mahomes. But I'm with Foxy as well, man. Like, Andy Reid and EB, Eric Bieniemy standing on that sideline watching this transpire in the second half, and nobody says anything. Where's the jet sweep motion to Mecole Hardman? Where is a screen game to the running back? Anything other than you trying to drop Mahomes back and push it down the field after you watching your quarterback struggle to get the ball downfield. And Mahomes got to take a lot of the brunt of this too, because if we going to put you in the greatness conversation, bro,
that's right,
we going to keep the same energy we kept with Aaron Rodgers, who scored 10 points in the championship game. You have to figure out a way to overcome, because that is where we have you in the tier of guys that plays this position.
I think that's right. I think that's completely fair. And, Jeff, you're the only offensive player I have here today, so I'm curious to hear this. Because you have to have had games where whatever it is the defense was doing, it's not working.
Absolutely.
So tell me what the conversations like that are on the sideline. It's not just the quarterback and the coach, right? Everyone, I have to believe, was saying, they're doing this.
Oh, absolutely.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. When you walk over the sideline, you're telling them, hey, they're rushing three, they're dropping eight. You know, we have nobody in the box. We're just basically standing around five on three all day. What can we do? What kind of adjustment? So you go over and make sure you communicate all that. I would say old habits die hard, and that's what happened with the Chiefs, is you believed for so long that if you just put it in the quarterback's hands, he's going to make plays. And this is why it gets assigned to quarterbacks, because when you do that, and that's your answer, Patrick Mahomes is going to bail out and find a way. He's going to hit Hill, or he's going to find Kelsey, and there's no real design plan to get you out of that. That's where the burden lays on the quarterback. And again, look, he didn't play well. He was 9 of 20, I think 50 yards or some kind of crazy number like that. So when you look at him, he didn't play well. The staff didn't help him. But again, when you talk about Patrick Mahomes, I live this with Peyton Manning. In 2005, we had a great chance to beat the Steelers. It was the best team I ever played on in Indy. And that one stuck. And it still hurts.
This is that
to
game.
This day, yeah. I mean, you see right here, you get a fumble, Harper picks it up, and Big Ben somehow makes some kind of tackle running the S route in the backfield. I mean, it's just insanity. We miss a field goal, we don't go on. But when you think about things sticking, Peyton Manning took a ton of shots throughout his career about not being able to make it in the big moments until he finally won a Super Bowl. That's going to be the conversation that Patrick Mahomes is. When they put it on you and you didn't make that play, that becomes the conversation, because we give quarterbacks too much credit and we give them too much blame. But that's going to be the conversation whether you like it or not.
Yeah, Danny.
The question is about standards, right? Like, this is – we talk about Andy Reid's lost all these conference championship games. Yeah, well, he's been to nine.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so I covered the Yankees, and they lost – they blew the 3-0 lead to the Red Sox in the playoffs. And I remember a grumpy Joe Torre saying, well, if anyone was going to be the first to do it, it was going to be us. We're always in the playoffs. So that's part of it. So Mahomes' legacy is about what happens now, right? Like, does he become the guy that only won one, and 10 years from now we're talking about him like we are Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Was that good enough, right? Mm-hmm. Or Russell Wilson, was that good enough? The problem is they built that contract team friendly in the early years so they could sign all these other guys and hit a window, right? I mean, the Bengals are in the Super Bowl in the second year of Joe Burrow's rookie contract. That's when you have to maximize things, right? 66% of Burrow's contract paid last year. So they have the ability to build on this, and the Chiefs' window to do that is shrinking.
Well, look at those numbers. Again, Hambo with the great work on the side. This past year, his cap hit was $7 million. It jumps to 36 and then 47 in the next 2 years.
Right, and they'll be able to knock those down by reworking the contract. But eventually, I mean, there's some kind of balloon payment coming.
And they're not knocking them down to seven is the point, right?
Well,
so, Neek, I'm old enough to remember when we were on this show talking about the Kansas City Chiefs being at the beginning of a dynasty. And thus far, that dynasty has appeared in two Super Bowls and won one. And I'm not suggesting it's over, but to Dan's point, this is the prime of the window. And so every time you miss out on one of these opportunities, it is historically significant.
Yeah, this year and last year are huge misses where they had opportunities. Last year was injuries, and you can't really say it was on them. They had a makeshift offensive line. But this year, it falls squarely on their shoulders. And whoever you decide to blame, you can decide to blame. But, they're all going to be disappointed years from now for not getting these Super Bowls, because you know it's going to get harder, as Dan pointed out. But I do think that Patrick Mahomes' legacy is going to be all right, because no one talks about that Peyton Manning thing. The only reason why Jeff brings it up is because he has scars. It didn't stick to Peyton, and no one talks about LeBron versus Dallas except for haters. Like, that's not a real thing that sticks around. Jeff, get over it.
I disagree. Dominique, I strongly disagree. It sticks to LeBron only in this regard, because the person that we compare LeBron to is Michael Jordan. If we were comparing to human beings, then of course it would be a ridiculous thing to bring up. But that's what Patrick Mahomes is trending towards becoming. And Joe Montana and Tom Brady and God, they don't have that game.
And that's why it sticks to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning had won a couple, then all of a sudden, and Tom Brady didn't, and all of a sudden we're talking about who's the greatest of all time. Brady settled it by winning seven, and Manning, you know, ended up with two.
Peyton Manning is the greatest regular
season. That's why it hurts right there, Fox. That's why it hurts.
It does. I think on some
guys like this,
at least some level, it does. All right, this conversation will continue, and I have a feeling it's going to spill over onto the radio today. In the meantime, Mahomes and Herbert already dominate a division. Why on earth would Aaron Rodgers want to go play there? We're talking about that as we continue. Plus, Jim Harbaugh. Talk of him going back to the NFL got a lot louder for one big reason today, and I'll tell you what that reason is next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
But I love these. It's Overreaction Tuesday with Graziana. So I'm going to say something that I think people are generally saying, and you tell me if it's an overreaction. Mm-hmm. So, Dan, if people were to say the Bengals' offensive line is in big trouble against Aaron Donald and company in the Super Bowl, is that an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. They're in some trouble, but the question is whether it matters. I mean, Joe Burrow's shown an ability to get away from trouble against Kansas City, not so much against Tennessee, but they're able to win these games anyway. Look, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, the Bengals offensive line obviously needs work this offseason. They will have to overcome that mismatch in the trenches if they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Next one. If someone were to say, looking at the landscape of the current coaching carousel, that Eric Bieniemy has missed his window to become a head coach, would that be an overreaction?
I don't think it's an overreaction. You hope that it is. You hope that he eventually gets it. But this is a guy that used to interview everywhere. And this cycle with 9 openings, got one interview in Denver, didn't get the job. You do start to wonder if there are other candidates coming up that have gone past him in terms of their desirability. You hope not for Eric's sake. But at this point, it's not quite the hot name it used to be when you talk about who's getting these interviews.
Right, and then one more, going back to Aaron Rodgers. If someone were to say Rodgers will be back in Green Bay, would that be an overreaction?
Yes, I believe that's an overreaction. We've talked many times here about the fundamental issues at play here, the salary cap, roster management issues that Green Bay is dealing with, Rodgers' dissatisfaction with the way the organization runs, has always run, will always run. I think it's a long shot that he comes back to Green Bay.
Right, so it remains to be seen where he winds up. But one thing is for certain, and that's how much he has dominated his conference and really in particular his division. For his career, he's won over two-thirds of his starts against the NFC. And since Matt LaFleur was hired in 2019, he's won over 80% of those games against the conference that he's been in his entire career. So, as I bring Jeff Saturday into the conversation with us here, going back to last week, we had a really healthy debate on this program about whether or not Aaron Rodgers should stay away from the AFC West, that there's all these really good young quarterbacks there. It was Damian Woody who said on here, work smarter, not harder. Yeah. Don't go up there where Mahomes and Herbert and all those guys are. Stay in a spot where there is less competition. Is that, as a player, does that make sense to you?
No, absolutely not. Listen, he trusts what he can do. I mean, you don't worry about what everybody else can do. You worry about what you can do. And if you think you're the greatest or one of the greatest of all time, you want to go put that on display. play. All the great ones want to. And so when you think about where the best fits are, it has to be in that area. If you think about Denver and being able to compete, he feels like he would have the talent around him and the organization that will do things for him to get those players in to make the difference. I can't see him ever being worried about who I'm in the different division with. Can I make it or not? I better believe I can. Otherwise, I shouldn't be playing.
Do I have the guys? Do I have Marcus and Dominique with us as well? I will make sure that I do. All right, Swagoo. So let me ask you, because this is obviously a topic that really only applies to quarterbacks, right? Defensive linemen don't say, well, I'm not going to that division because they got a bunch of great defensive linemen. But if you're Rodgers, does it make sense to take that into account as you make your decision?
I'm sure it makes sense to take it into account, but I don't – listen, for all of the back and forth and things I've talked about Aaron Rodgers, the one thing I would not attribute to Aaron Rodgers is him being fearful of other quarterbacks right. in the NFL. Yeah. He is that dude. He is that guy that when he comes to the division, you got to make sure you on your P's and Q's. We just coming off a topic talking about Patrick Mahomes, them giving up an 18-point lead against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. In Denver, if Aaron Rodgers goes there with that talent and that defense and they able to do the things that we expect them to do being a quarterback away, then the other teams are going to have to worry about Aaron Rodgers being there as well. So, look, I don't subscribe to that, man, because ultimately you're going to have to come out of hiding at some point. Like the Green Bay Packers got to come out of hiding against the San Francisco 49ers for the past few years, and they ain't got it done. So at some point, you're going to have to see the man and beat the man. And Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys that we consider the man. So fearing going to a conference shouldn't even be in the conversation about his decision-making. It should be all about that particular team and how ready they are to win.
Right.
Because I'm the guy that's going to elevate them and be the common denominator between a Super Bowl. And we all believe he got that talent.
What do you think, Dominique? I've not heard your opinion on this yet.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on Rodgers to Denver since before this season started, and he shouldn't. We just saw Mahomes go down to the Bengals. That shouldn't scare him. Herbert didn't even make the playoffs, and that shouldn't scare him.
Yeah.
And then you got Carr. I don't think he's worried about that. But I do understand what Studio Damian Woody was talking about. Like, all that logic makes sense. But emotion trumps logic, like for everyone, for all of us. Our emotion overtakes our logic more often than we're willing to admit. And Aaron Rodgers' emotions tell him that it don't matter who you put in front of him as long as you surround him with the right players, which I think that's probably right. And to Swagoo's final point, you can't hide forever. Eventually, you're going to have to beat these people. You're going to have to face up and beat them at some point. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is completely comfortable with going in and trying to take their division.
Devil's advocate to that. You don't have to beat all of them. You know, if you're in the right conference, you only have to beat one of them. Otherwise, you got to get through all of them, Danny.
Yeah, and the best thing supporting Damian Woody's point is the way the playoffs are structured right now. There's only one bye per conference. Regular season wins matter, right? If you're in a tough division and you win 11 games, you might be the better team, but the team in the easier division that won 13 only has to win twice to get to the Super Bowl. So that's got to be a consideration. But I don't think it overcomes Rodgers' belief in himself, the fact that he knows the new head coach, they have good young receiving talent.
Have a better team or easier path.
Why the face, Marcus? Why the face?
What?
Because of what Graz just said and what Greeny, I mean, what Woody just said, he's been dominating the conference for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And ain't won a Super Bowl.
Right.
That's true.
So, I mean, what?
It's about what you're surrounded
about.
With.
He's been in that situation.
You want to go make it harder.
Yeah, it's the talent.
Ross,
even Tampa, like what Greeny was saying, or even Tampa, if they have that rebuild or can they keep that thing together, if he feels like there's an ascending team in Denver or in San Francisco, he doesn't care who else he has to play.
Yeah.
He understands, I want to go play with the best guys around me because ultimately that elevates me. Because he ain't playing Mahomes. He ain't playing Herbert. The defense is. So if his defense, by the way, the Denver almost beat Mahomes this year with almost nobody at QB. You and I playing, so no.
I'll just say this. There have been 55 Super Bowl champions. 47 of them won their division. That's the place that it begins. And if you can make that easier, it's just smart to try and do it. Meanwhile, as we continue, what if the 49ers Jimmy G replacement plan does not include the young rookie they just drafted? The superstar San Francisco needs to go after right now. We'll get you there. Plus, Action Jackson. Is Lamar no longer one of those great young quarterbacks we talk about in the AFC? We got to get to the bottom of that. And then Graziano's going to get to the bottom of this. Here's today's question. Which college has produced the most quarterbacks that started in the Super Bowl? It's Hembo versus Graziano. Next, it's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And let the record show, I feel that Hembo has been kind of passive-aggressive in some of his questions lately. He doesn't like – so I approve of this question.
That's a good one.
Which college has produced the most quarterbacks that started in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I feel like he's given me this one before. He says he hasn't. So I've heard it somewhere before. It's tricky because my first thought is Alabama, because you go back to Namath and all, but it's not Alabama. It's a weird one. I think it's Cal. I think it's Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, and like Vince Ferragamo, and like is
stop
it Cal,
while
Cal
you're
Berkeley?
Ahead. Cal is correct. Don't guess the players wrong.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not Ferragamo.
Oh, who was it?
Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Kapp, and Craig Morton are the 4 quarterbacks from Cal.
Cal.
Well, that is
way
the most aggressive.
Way to whoop
that is a well done job by Graziano.
Thinking.
Yes, that's
Woo-hoo.
Well done. And so where's the standings now? Graziano moves ahead, I believe, if memory serves. Oh, now we're even at 4-4. But I still consider Graziano ahead because last week's question, I think, should have been disqualified.
Yeah. It'll be all right.
In the meantime, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about the quarterbacks on the other side of the ledger from him in the NFL. The AFC is stacked with young quarterbacks. He got 26-year-old Patrick Mahomes. Despite a bad day on Sunday, he's obviously awesome. In Buffalo, Josh Allen has arrived in every meaningful way. Playoffs last 3 years, brilliant even in defeat last weekend against Kansas City. Josh Allen is a stud. And oh, by the way, Joe Burrow's in the Super Bowl. The top pick in the 2020 draft has led the previously downtrodden Bengals to the AFC title and a spot in Super Bowl 56. So where does this leave Lamar Jackson?
The AFC is the quarterback conference right now, right? And you saw it the last 2 weeks.
All right, so that's John Harbaugh saying the AFC is clearly the quarterback conference. And that is obvious, right? There's a bunch of young guys in there, and I just ran through 3 of them, and there are others that we name. And Dominique, does it feel like there's one guy whose jersey I know your son likes to wear a lot of the time who has, I'm not sure what the right word is, receded a tad from the conversation?
I mean, he's definitely receded from the conversation because he missed a lot of games this season and he's not in the playoffs. And you're talking about Lamar Jackson. Obviously, I think he'll be back in the conversation. I have no reason to believe that he got substantially worse. I understand that his style of play is not going to be a 20-year Tom Brady type career, but that team is still really talented, still well-run and well-coached. And Lamar Jackson is still, remember, the MVP. At 22 years old. And we were talking at the beginning of this season about how he should be in the MVP conversation because he was doing so much with so little there. So let's not get carried away and think that Lamar Jackson is not in this group. He's not here right now because of what happened this season, but he's just as impactful on his team and their style of play. You know how every week we talk about how San Francisco was a bad matchup for people because they were physical and they ran the hell out of the football? Guess what the Ravens do? The same thing. Play good defense and smash people in the mouth, and not very many teams in the modern age of football are built to play defense against a power rushing attack like the Ravens have.
That's fair. And that team was decimated by injury around him.
Yeah.
But Marcus, it does sort of make me hearken back to a conversation that we've had, you've had strongly on this program over the recent years about whether the style of play they employ is a problem to the extent that it just sets the quarterback up to get hit so much that eventually injury becomes a concern. Does this rise to that in your view?
G is hard because I still contend that we've never seen anything like Lamar Jackson. But to your point, man, the injuries were a part of this season for him, too. This Ravens team was decimated by injury, and they would have been in the playoffs had it not been for losing their whole team throughout the course of a season or guys missing games. But when I look at Lamar's type of play, it's always been longevity for me. You've heard me say on this show 1,000 times, evolve the passing game, because eventually that is what you're going to have to go to. And he's going to have to materialize himself into a way where he can play both ways. I can take off. I can get downfield. I can do what Lamar Jackson does. And then I need to beat you from the pocket. And we're going to keep it 100 on every quarterback in the NFL. Lamar Jackson better stop throwing interceptions, because that's what he was associated with before he got out of this season with injuries and things like that. If he takes care of the football, he's right there in the tier with all of these other guys. He just does it a different way, as Foxy alluded to. But the Baltimore Ravens are going to be a good football team. They are going to be a part of the conversation in the playoffs, and Lamar Jackson still will have dynamic plays, dynamic games where he's supplanted in the conversation with all of these other guys. It just won't look the same.
What do you think, Jeff?
It's a what have you done for me lately league. I mean, listen, Patrick Mahomes had a bad half, and we have blasted him. You know what I mean? Bad half, man. Like, yeah. And Andy Reid said to go to his third Super Bowl in a row, and we'll put him up there and say, hey, man, he didn't get it done. So when you think about what Lamar Jackson said, I get he was an MVP in 2019, but the conversation because of injury and really we talked about Patrick Mahomes struggling in the middle of the season and talking about what he wasn't doing well. Well, guess what? Lamar didn't do great against the blitz. Like Swaggoo just said, he was turning the ball over. There were things that he was doing as a player, and then he gets hurt. And here's the biggest factor: he's not practicing. And so you can't evolve and develop a passing game with your quarterback when your receivers are hurt, your quarterback's hurt, guys are missing time, and you know, from COVID. There are a number of different reasons. It's not excuses, it's reasons. But his performance was not of standard of what he's looking for this season. So when you're talking about the other guys and they're making it to championship games and Super Bowls and all those different conversations, he has to get himself back in there by winning. Because again, in a half, people are flipping on Mahomes. Think about a whole season of struggles. That's why the conversation is being had the way it is.
Danny?
Yeah, I think he's in the right place, right? I think he's absolutely in the right organization. I have faith in that organization, that coaching staff, that front office to keep the structure around him good and find a way to win with him. Too often the conversation about Lamar Jackson focuses on what he can't do, right? His shortcomings. But what he can do is a astounding and has the ability to elevate a team beyond just good into great. Well, right. We've seen it. So I think with that coaching staff, with John Harbaugh, with that front office, the way they operate their organization, I think he's set up for success. I think he'll get a contract extension. They'll figure out a way to work around that. And, the AFC, I do think it's funny, though, that John Harbaugh is telling his brother to go coach in the NFC. He's got too many quarterbacks.
Well, I think that's pretty much right. Dominic, I'll give you the final word because this one is a little more personal to you.
No, I mean, it's not even personal. It's just logical. Like, the man was in MVP conversation at the beginning of the season. And I understand that he has some injury concerns, but that team was destroyed. The idea that he has been, like, downgraded relative to these other quarterbacks, to me, seems a bit absurd. And I would throw on top of it the fact that he's unique. Yes, I'll give him that. And somehow for him, it's the only time that unique becomes a bad thing. Like, he's a special player. And even when he's hurt, like we're talking about him getting hurt as if Joe Burrow's not coming off a torn ACL, as if Patrick Mahomes didn't dislocate his knee, as if Josh Allen can't be hurt because that man is a Terminator, but he runs the ball just as aggressively as Lamar Jackson. So maybe the conversation around Lamar Jackson is going to change, but it's not going to be for me. Like, I'm certainly not going to sit here and pretend like we can put Lamar Jackson like a tier below all of these guys. He's done it. He's got an MVP trophy in his second year and was balling out at the beginning of this season. Let's relax. Lamar's going to be fine. The Ravens are going to be good.
All right, hold everything. Everybody, hold on. I'm getting a word in my ear that we have extraordinarily significant breaking news. Both Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington in the last 1 minute have tweeted, Tom Brady has officially announced his retirement. again, based upon the reporting over the weekend, this is not a surprise, but it is certainly significant. He has posted it on Instagram. Dan, go ahead and read it. I don't have it in front of me.
I've done a lot of reflecting the past week and have asked myself difficult questions, and I'm so proud of what we have achieved. My teammates, coaches, fellow competitors, and fans deserve 100% of me. But right now, it's best I leave the field of play to the next generation of dedicated and committed athletes. To my Bucks teammates the past 2 years, I love you guys, and I've loved going to battle with you. You have dug so deep to challenge yourself, and it inspired me to wake up every day and give you my best. I'm always here for you guys and want to see you continue to push yourselves to be your best. I couldn't be happier with what we accomplished together.
That is Tom Brady on his, yeah, I see it now, on his Instagram announcing his retirement. That is only a surprise to me to the extent that that's the way he chose to announce it. Perhaps something else was planned, and the breaking news that we had over the weekend from Shefty and Jeff made him adapt his plans. I think our suspicion was the reason he was delaying this was that he had some more elaborate means of doing this. Jeff, Saturday, again, it's not a surprise, but now it is official. Tom Brady has announced after 22 seasons, seven Super Bowl championships, every meaningful passing record, has announced his retirement from the NFL. What's your reaction?
Yeah, blessed to have been able to watch him compete against him, and this is incredible. Like, he's the greatest to ever do it, and it's just such a, it's an honor to have done those things and to watch the way that he's going out in the class. And I think his point being he wanted the games to shine this weekend. Perfect opportunity, right? A little 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, before the Pro Bowl. Like, again, handle it with class, with humility. He understands how important this game is. He has never disrespected the game of football. I love the way he's handled it. And, man, you know, tip of the cap, bro. You couldn't have done it any better. And it was an honor to take the field with you.
Marcus Spears, Tom Brady officially retired. What's your reaction?
Yeah, just wheeled himself into being a great quarterback, man. Yeah. Like, this is almost like when you hear people talk about Steph Curry in the NBA and how you could be a guy of his stature and still be considered a top five player because of your extraordinary ability to do something. And Tom's extraordinary ability was obviously he could throw, he could compete, he was there in final moments. But his extraordinary ability was every time those moments came, he met them. And he understood the challenge, and it was like playing in the first quarter was like playing in the fourth quarter when you needed to make a drive to win the game. And also, y'all, the man was 44, and he was playing in the Super Bowl. Like, like context for a second. Like, for you to have that ability to go that far, and obviously it has a lot to do with his other teammates, but Tom Brady is the greatest of all time in the NFL, not only because of championships, but because we can reflect on 1,000 moments where they should have been out of it. They should have lost. And he was somehow, some way, found a way to wheel his team to victory. So it wasn't the pretty guy out of college with the six pack and all of that. It wasn't the guy that was fastest or all of that. I think that's what people will relate to. It was like this common dude eventually worked himself into becoming the greatest quarterback to ever play in the NFL. So that's what I have a lot of respect for. But
Marcus,
his story
I'm gonna cut
is
you
full.
Off there.
It's a lot of other things we're going to have to talk to.
I'm told I got Shefty on the phone. Adam Schefter is with us on the phone here. Get up on ESPN. The news in just the last few seconds, Tom Brady officially announcing his retirement. Shefty, go.
Well, Greeny, this is something that I think he had decided a little while back. And this is something that he wanted to announce when he was ready to announce it, but he knew what the decision was. And he has officially made it official. The greatest to ever do it. The man who played 22 seasons, appeared in 10 Super Bowls, won 7 Super Bowl rings, who impacted any number of teams, coaches, players, front office men, fans, memories, is walking away on his terms. And he has posted a message on Instagram with elaborate thank yous to everybody. And he has made it clear that he appreciates everything that everybody's done. He's put a lot of thought into this post. This didn't just come overnight. This has been in the making for a while now. And Tom Brady gets to walk out where he may win the MVP next week. That could happen. And I don't know how many people win an NFL MVP and walk out on their terms. And so we should salute the GOAT, the greatest to ever do it, as he heads out the door to the next challenges of his life and moves on. And here we go. He gets to go on, and the Buccaneers are back to having to find a quarterback. There's one more team in the quarterback domino, but that is secondary on a day where the greatest to ever do it officially has announced the retirement that I think we all knew was coming, Greeny.
Yeah, I'm now looking through the rest of this post, and you're right. There are multiple pages in here as he goes through any number of people that he thanks. And it's basically, Shefty, thank you, exactly what you would expect here from Brady, who has always been one that has given credit where it is due and is crediting many people around him, including his family and many others. So, again, the news is not a surprise, and yet it is enormous. Tom Brady, 22 seasons in the National Football League, officially announcing his retirement today. Dominique, we've not heard from you. What's your reaction here in the moment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is an incredible career, and I'm looking forward to – I heard Adams talk about what he's going to – the next challenges he has in his life. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing the new version of Tom Brady, what he's going to do next. Like, I don't see him receding into the background and doing nothing. I do think the most notable thing is if you can imagine that when Michael Jordan went to the Wizards, if he averaged 30 points a game, won a Super Bowl, and potentially won an MVP in two seasons there, that's what we just saw from Tom Brady at 44 years old. Like, it's so amazing that every point of his career seems more improbable than the last one. It's been an outstanding career, and I hope that he has earned himself. He's, at least in my view, he's earned himself. You remember when he was drunk after that Tampa Bay Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that man
yeah.
earned himself a year of that type of behavior. I want to see Tom Brady let loose and enjoy himself, eat some strawberries, drink Gronk all style. Of everything you can find, and celebrate. Yes, go on a Gronk tour. I want the Brady cruise. All
Saturday
life.
Night Live, all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the sentence that he used to actually announce
just
it.
Just be drunk this all is different.
He writes, this is difficult for me to write, but here it goes. I'm not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. I have loved my NFL career, and now it is time to focus my time and energy on other things that require my attention. I'll pause briefly on that. We'll continue with much more on this in a moment. Again, it's not a surprise, but it's enormous news. After 22 seasons, the greatest player in the history of the National Football League has officially retired. We'll be back in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up here on ESPN with the enormous breaking news. Tom Brady has officially announced his retirement from the National Football League, doing so on Instagram. Here's a small piece of what is a very long post. It's multiple pages. He writes here, as you see, I've done a lot of reflecting. I've asked myself difficult questions. I'm so proud of what we've achieved. Teammates, coaches, fellow competitors, fans deserve 100% of me. Right now, it's best I leave the field of play to the next generation of dedicated and committed athletes. To my Bucks teammates the past 2 years, I love you guys. I've loved going to battle with you. You've dug so deep to challenge yourself and inspired me to wake up every day and give you my best. I'm always here for you guys. I want to see you continue to push yourselves to be your best. I couldn't be happier with what we accomplished together. Again, this is not after Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington's reporting over the weekend. This does not come as a surprise. And yet, once it becomes official, it does start to settle in, I suppose, in a little different way. This is the greatest player in the history of the sport, and we have seen him play for an incredibly long time. I'm thinking of someone who is 30 years old, doesn't remember an NFL without Tom Brady in it. And I, you know, speaking for myself, I've been fortunate enough to chronicle every day of his career, and it's as good as anything I've ever seen. There's really not much more you can say than that. Marcus, I interviewed his dad, Tom Brady Sr., on my radio show the day after they won the Super Bowl last year. And I said, what drives him to keep going? And he said, because the stuff everyone else hates, he loves. He loves the grind. He loves the film. He loves all the early He loves all that work. And that was what led me to believe he might continue playing even longer. But obviously, because that's the stuff usually, Marcus, that drives people into retirement.
Absolutely, G. And that it is... I tell people this all the time, whether your career was 22 years like Tom Brady's or, you know, short like mine, or short in context, but now in context to 22 years, it's so abrupt, man. Like, it just ends. And I know Brady will get his flowers and we'll talk about him, his retirement, but the football part is over. It just ends. It's nobody that's going to call and be like, hey, man, you know, let's go out and throw some balls, or you don't have that same camaraderie with your teammates. And I think throughout his career and his process, especially coming down to making this decision, you got to start focusing on what you're actually going to do afterwards. Because it's so many things Tom Brady can do. Tom Brady can go in the booth. He can be on TV. He can sell some T-shirts and all of that type of stuff. But you try to find purpose and fulfillment. And I think that's the thing that he's been able to have, actually the time still playing at a high level, to decide what he wanted to do and what he could invest in. But the Monday through Friday, the Monday through Saturday in the NFL is what retires you. Ryan Clark said this a week ago when we were on NFL Live. That is the time that retires you. The weight room, the running, the test before the before camp starts, the 100-degree weather. You have to fix your mind around that stuff. The games have always been what we wanted to do. But ultimately, him making the decision not to compete anymore is about Monday through Saturday.
You know, Dominique, it's interesting because it's hard for me to know exactly what we should talk about today. Normally, when a player like this retires, we think, well, how do we put his career into a historical perspective? That's a very short conversation.
Very.
He's the greatest ever. Next. So, Dominique, what are the right things to say about him today?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to understand, to Marcus's point, that he played 22 years. That's half of his life and all of his adult life. So the next chapter is going to be a challenging one for him, no matter how much money he has or how famous he is, figuring out what's next for him. So I think we should all look forward to watching him grow and change in that. But I also think that it feels right now like it's a somber thing, and it shouldn't be. It should be a celebration.
It shouldn't be.
Tom Brady was incredible, and then he gave us bonus Brady. So why we have to be around here in hushed tones, like, it's, I'm sorry that it's over for him, but damn if it wasn't special. Like, to be able to live through this, this is something that we'll never, we say it often, like, this is a generational person, generational play, the best game of all time. And we say it because we are in a hyperbolic society, but this time, it's true. You're never going to see anything in sports anywhere close to what you just witnessed. So if you're one of those 30-year-olds who have never known the NFL without Tom Brady, well, you're going to figure out what it looked like, and it's going to be a lot different. And you're going to compare everybody to him, and everyone's going to come up short. No one's going to win 7 Super Bowls.
Quick final thoughts up here. Go ahead,
MVP, Super Bowl MVPs. 3 league MVPs. Sorry.
I think there is perspective to impart, and I think Swagoo did a good job talking about him, what he's overcome. He not only was he not the pretty prospect in college, he beat that guy. That guy's name was Drew Henson. He was supposed to be the starter at Michigan. Brady was his backup, beat him out, and went on to be a 6th-round pick that became the greatest of all time. That's about hard work and dedication. Whatever he does next, I wouldn't want to be competing against him.
Earned every bit and made everybody else around him better. That's the part that I go away with, is he made every player want to be that good and be like him. And that's an incredible feat to be able to pass.
We're covering it all day here. First Take is coming up in just a matter of moments, and I assure you they'll be talking plenty more about Tom Brady after 22 years officially retired. Back in a moment, ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, and once again, if you're just joining us on ESPN, the enormous breaking news that Tom Brady has announced his retirement on his Instagram page after 22 years and the greatest career in the history of professional football. We have some questions about some of the omissions in this, and we will dive into on the radio. Dan and I are jumping over to ESPN Radio Coast to Coast in 60 seconds, and the conversation continues with First Take here right now.